Oh, we forgot to thank Marcus.
Oh, because he said Trailer Junkies for life.
Right. So I got a Christmas card from Soapbox, and I looked
TJLF.
And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that's really nice, you know. And then Audrey comes to my office, and she's looking at the Christmas cards on my desk, and she flips it over, and she goes, oh, that's so nice. I was like, what are you talking about? And I guess I had not looked close enough. And Marcus, our guest from long ago, episode, what, 42 or something like that, he wrote...
Has it been that long?
Trailer Junkies for Life on the Christmas card. So it was really awesome.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted, another Friday night. It's episode 102.
That's right, 102.
Man, 102. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you have a good week this week.
Good week. Chilly week, yeah, right?
It is a chilly week.
It's cold.
So it rained yesterday about a half an inch.
Uh-huh.
We woke up this morning and, I mean, literally to about a half an inch of ice on the ground. Like, I mean, it pretty much rained and then froze and there was just ice everywhere.
Is that good for biking?
But, you know, by the time I get around to it, it's all melted in the road.
Okay.
It was like ice on the everything but the street, really.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a pretty good rainstorm.
Not down here, but we had a little bit, with a little misting. A
little misting. So you have a good week this week?
Yeah, had a good week. Had a couple of lunches over at Whole Foods this week.
Lunch at Whole Foods. Okay, well, wait. Whole Foods, that whole thing. And I saw you sent me a interesting looking ale.
Yeah.
So tell me about it and crack that sucker.
Okay, cool. So I'll crack this and then I'll tell you about the Whole Foods.
Yeah, then I want to hear about your Whole Foods lunch. I never know Whole Foods had luncheons.
Yeah. That was an uneventful pop there.
The bottle looks cool, like whatever the style of the bottle is.
Yeah, it's like an old British.
It's like a cask.
Yeah, old British. It's called Old Tom's Strong Ale.
There you go.
And it's Robinson's Ginger Ale with ginger root and pear juice.
Ugh, sounds awful.
What's that?
Sounds awful. Ginger root and pear juice. We were in Tallinn, Estonia a couple years ago,
uh-huh.
And we went to this one bar and they were serving some sort of spiced ale that was supposed to be some traditional spiced ale from like 500 years ago or something. So I'm like, Clarissa, let's go into this place and get this traditional spiced ale. Man, it was the worst beer I ever had in my life.
You didn't like that?
This stuff was, it was like, I mean, I may have, it may as well been chewing on like a thing of allspice or something. It was just awful.
Well, this one is a little more balanced than that. It has three notes. It has the pear and the ginger and the ale. Maybe ginger's first.
Three notes.
Pear is second. You could taste everything very distinctly.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's to me, it's I like the balance. I like it.
Ginger with, okay. Wow. It's very dark. I'm shocked at how dark that is.
It is dark. It's much sweeter than I thought it was going to be.
And let me recap that Riesling ale I had last week with the champagne bubbles. Did you know that the next morning I woke up with like a champagne headache?
Oh,
man.
That's the worst.
Oh, it was awful. Sorry. I will never buy that beer again.
Not your cup of tea.
Dude, I had a champagne hangover from it. Anyway, hey, I want to give you a clue as to what style of beer or what kind of beer I'm drinking by the title.
Okay. I'm looking at the top of it, so all I see is the cap.
Oh, okay. Well, it's, hey, I'm single.
Is it IPA?
No, it's a Belgian single.
Oh, it's a Belgian single.
I mean, if I said, hey, I'm triple, it would have been like, that wouldn't make no sense. But yeah, it's a, hey, I'm single. It's a Belgian single ale out of Westlake Village, California. I'm not really sure. You know, sometimes these places get like really fancy, like art for their name of their things.
Yes.
But you can't go so fancy that the guy reviewing your beer doesn't know what the hell he can't read it. I think it's something threads, fives threads.
Let's see it.
Yeah. What would you say? Can you see it there?
Yeah.
Five threads or something, or five threads?
Or five. Maybe it's a V. Five threads.
Maybe that's a V. That's, yeah. A V. Five threads.
Look at the five look threads. At the fine print. Is there a fine print like in the back, like the brewery?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, five shades. Wait, five threads. Five shades of Blondale. Five Threads Brewing Company. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you can't get too fancy for us, a simple folk.
You must love the copy on Old Tom. It doesn't get simpler than that.
Yeah, I love it. It's easy to read. Oh, this smells so good. It's like 6%, I think, or 6.2.
Okay.
What's yours?
Mine's 6 even.
All right. I'm going to pour some for Clarissa here.
Okay, good.
Because she definitely loves Belgian ales as much as I do. And I don't know. She'll show up. Hey, Clarissa, you around there? Let's see. Is this bottle conditioned? Oh, yeah. Bottle conditioned. That's one of my
you love the bottle conditioned.
I do. You know, as a home brewer, like, you can't beat that. I mean, it's like, you know, they're not just like filtering and doing all kinds of nonsense.
You know, it's like coming off a huge conveyor belt, you know, like
6.2.
So you beat me by 2 points last week. I beat you by 1 point. Speaking of ABV, earlier this week, so I went to Whole Foods twice for lunch this week. And I think on Tuesday or something like that, I went and I had fish tacos at it's called Vault or Stage. It's called Stage 71. Bar.
This is at Whole Foods?
Whole Foods in Burbank. And the bar is called Vault 71.
Wait, so Whole Foods has a bar?
Whole Foods has a bar with like 20 taps.
What?
And the taps are phenomenal.
I would hope so.
And they had on Tuesday, I saw this beer that I had wanted to get for the podcast for a long time. It's called Just Another Tuesday. And Just Another Tuesday is a commemorative milk stout made for when the stock market crashed, because the stock market crash in 1929 was on a Tuesday. So this was it was commemorative of that. So when our bartender gave it to us, I was like, oh, this is from that stock market crash. And it was $5. It was $7 for a 5 ounce pour in a little tulip glass, but it was 15%.
Oh, wow.
So that's why they sell that in the little 5 ounce pours.
Yeah. Little snifters,
little tulip. And I was working, so, that's fine for lunch.
15%. Yikes.
And then today I went again, and Ann and I had, so fish tacos were great. It's like fish and chips, except they take the big cod, fried cod, and they put it in a taco. So it was much more than any fish taco that I've had before at anywhere else.
So they're not like the Baja fish tacos. They're more
exactly.
They're more like British fish and chips in a tortilla. Yeah,
just throw that fish and chips in a tortilla.
There you go.
But today, Ann and I split some dry wings. We had wings with a dry rub so we could have all of the flavors, because then we went with every sauce that they had instead of getting just hot wings or just blue cheese or just, something else. So we could flavor all the different flavors. And then I went with the 120-minute Dogfish Head IPA, which...
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And that's a triple IPA.
Right.
And it's 18%.
Wow, yeah, I've had that before. That's like, that's rocking.
And I saw...
The 90-minute I've had, and I've brewed the 90-minute a number of times, the clone. Yeah. The 120, man, I should do a 120 clone.
Do the 120, man. That thing that's bomb. It's amazing.
Man, like, I don't know what kind of yeast they would have that could get that high. Right. Wow. That's incredible.
And then I saw some coworkers on the patio, so I walked out with my 120, and they were like, "Oh, Ted, you always have great beers. What's that?" And I was like, "Oh, it's the 120 Dogfish Head. It's great." And then they took a little bit of it. I was like, "You can't even taste the alcohol." To me, that's the sign of quality, is when you get over 12%, but it doesn't taste like hard liquor. You could still taste all the hops and all the complexity of beer.
Well, you're a half a shot of Jack away. I mean, really,
Yeah. So that is the perfect lunch. That is the perfect lunch, you know, just a little 5 ounce pour of that 120 and some wings, man. It was amazing.
What makes for a great beer, and you said it, is you can't taste the alcohol. And what makes for a great beer is essentially exactly that. You have yeast, which makes the alcohol, you have the malt, and you have the hops. And when you have a well-balanced beer, none of the three are overbearing. It's not like, I mean, I've had some IPAs that are just so ridiculous, out of balance. It's like you're chewing like grass or something. Others, you really taste the alcohol. Others are just too malty, you know, but when you bring in the balance proper, all of a sudden it's like they all just complement each other to the point that exactly what you said, you can't taste it, and they're just a really good beer.
Yeah.
That gets you really effed up, you know. Happy to hear you had a lot of good lunches at Whole Foods and the Whole Foods Tavern. I didn't know. I mean, that's amazing.
Next time you're down, we got to stop by.
We do.
We got to do the Burbank Trailer Junkies tour.
The Ted half of the Trailer Junkies Burbank Handy Market. You know, we go to all the places. It's kind of like, if you've seen Swingers, which I think you have.
Yeah.
And then like when you're in LA, of course, mm-hmm. like I remember when I first moved to LA, like you have to hit all the spots that they hit in Swingers.
The Derby. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all the, yeah. What was the Dresden? Yeah. We would go to the Dresden, get some food, get some drinks, the Blood and Sand, you know, that's their signature drink. And yeah, me and Chuck would go a lot of times when we were in our single days.
Did you ever go to Formosa Cafe?
Formosa? I never heard of Formosa Cafe.
Oh, Formosa is like, it's another Hollywood spot. It's kind of,
yeah, the Hollywood spots, yeah, man.
It has Chinese food and a lot of, Mai Tais, a lot of tiki drinks.
Oh, those kind of things. Oh, I think I have been there.
Yeah, it's all red inside. They have an Elvis booth. We sat, we went with the Italians and we sat one booth away from the Elvis booth. And apparently whenever Elvis would come, they would kick whoever's in the booth out so he could sit there.
Yeah. I've been to that place. And then, and then at the Dresden, the people on the, which were also in Swingers, but Marty and Eileen, you know, they're like the band people. And
Yeah.
They play like the bad, like lounge act, you know,
lounge music. Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing. But yeah, so this week I did my civic duty.
Uh-oh.
Had jury duty Monday and Tuesday. Ugh. So I sat in the audience the whole time, never got called to the box. Uh-huh. And then we finally got dismissed. And then yesterday I had to take another day off of work. We had a new garage door put in.
Oh, you did it? You don't do it yourself.
No, I didn't do it. We had Quality Garage Door here in town do it. You know, it's one of those things where, like, after 37 years or however old the house is, the garage door goes up and down, and it's like this tiny little bend every time it goes up and down. Well, after 37 years, the steel starts to tear and rip. And by the time, and the guy, when he took off the hinges that was holding the whole garage door together, that one panel just collapsed on itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was time, you know. So yeah, with new garage door, I'll tell you, man, the new one is so quiet.
Is it?
Like, oh, it's unbelievable. Like, it's so quiet. It's so smooth. It's so, like, I mean, it's like silky satin going up. I mean, it's wonderful. Like, I get excited just hitting the button.
You're like, listen, and then nothing.
But yeah, and then, you know, I mean, like I said, the jury duty, the new garage door. Other than that, I mean, like, that's a full week in and of itself right there, man. I mean, jury duty is just awful.
So you went to work like yesterday and you're like, all right, the week's over. Gotta go.
Well, I was there Wednesday. So I had jury duty Monday and Tuesday. I went to work Wednesday, sat in meetings all day, was off Thursday, went today, and then now I have a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, there you go. Do you get half days on the day before the holiday?
No, it's a regular day of school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right. You know, or well, it's a regular day of school, and then I still work till probably 4 o'clock or so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my boss might be listening, so I can let him know I'm there all day.
Yeah. Well, oh, Bryce did a sleepaway camp all week this week. So we took him on Monday morning.
Yeah, I saw that. That was for the entire week.
The entire week. He just got back today. That's part of the reason we went to Whole Foods was he was like, I just want a burger. Like he's been having.
Where was the camp?
The camp's in Thousand Pines and they do science projects all day and they kind of do like, he had fun with archery and making like leather crafts and things like that. So.
And this was at school. Wait a minute. Wait, it was Renaissance Fair? Archery and leather crafts? Like what?
He's not slaying wooden dragons and stuff. Don't worry.
He's LARPing? Is that what's going on?
No. But he got a cool fanny pack. He was happy about that. And then,
so this is through school?
Through school. Yeah. All the Burbank schools do some kind of trip. I think some people go to Catalina, some people go to Thousand Pines, but
so it's for fifth grade, right?
Usually fifth grade. Yeah.
Yeah. Because here, fifth graders go to Catalina.
Yeah, Catalina's the one.
For a week.
Yeah.
Right. So when Timmy and Mikey are in the fifth grade, they go away for a week to Catalina.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've never been to Catalina.
I took Ann to Catalina for one day, just random Tuesday. I took her to Catalina and we spent the day there and I had friends pick up the kids from school and I just was like a weird date in the middle of the week.
And you took the boat out of Long Beach or something?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, we got to do that one of these days. You know?
Oh, we're going whale watching tomorrow.
Oh, so out of which port?
I think Newport Beach. Is that one?
Oh, down in Newport. Oh, so you're going way down there then.
Way down there, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, like I think we could go whale watching out of Santa Barbara here.
Is that Channel Islands? Is that the same thing?
It's all, the Channel Islands run for like a couple hundred miles or something.
Oh, so it's the whole stretch. I'm not very good with the ocean stuff.
You're not a geographer.
Oh, don't say that. I'm a son of a cartographer, so very, very close.
Oh, there you go. How about we get into a Batman?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Morbius.
Morbius. That's right. Well, so what did you think? Have you heard of Morbius?
I have not heard of Morbius, but one thing I noticed with the trailer is I see an end to the trailer trope of the trailer to the trailer arriving maybe within this year. If I have to make a 2020 prediction,
okay,
the trailer to the trailer, I think, is coming to a close because now they're doing countdowns.
I like the countdown. I thought it was interesting.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying now that they're doing countdowns, they realize like people don't want to be bothered with the trailer to the trailer. So they're giving you a three count.
They're like, how long is this trailer to the trailer?
Don't worry. We get it. We don't want to do it either. So we're going to let you know there's only 3 seconds of this and then we'll get to the trailer.
So you think this is signaling the end of the end? It's not just like another layer of trailer to trailer.
Oh, so you're saying like they're layering on the trope.
They're extending the trope because the trope has died. So we got to zombify it and we got to put something into it.
Zombify the trope.
That levels it up, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Zombify the trailer trope. I hope not. I hope it's the beginning of the end, if you know what I mean.
But just put a stake in its heart.
Yeah, you know, it starts off as a horror film.
Yes.
And then you see it in association with Marvel, and right away your brain just goes to, oh, it's a superhero thing.
Right.
Yeah, like horror just falls off the edge.
Right.
So if they eliminated the Marvel card, then you would go into it thinking the whole way it's horror, and it would, and I think it would like layer on more of the horror fantasy type thing rather than superhero fantasy type thing, I guess. Would you say or no?
And then you say like the whole Batman thing that you were mentioning, you were alluding to.
No, he's a Batman.
Right. I didn't pause enough in between the two words. But it is because it's Marvel, because it's superhero, because they're bats, you know, it has that feel of the superhero space. And even though they say Marvel, it feels like it's DC. It has like it has some DC elements to it, you know, as far as storytelling. And then when the family was watching this and we were talking about it, I think I told Bryce, I said this evening, you know, we're watching it again right before we recorded. And I said, I think it's because this is a Sony Marvel. This is in the camp of the Spider-Man and Venom and in that space. So it's not...
That's what they said.
It's not the Disney Marvel. It's the Sony Marvel. So that's going to give you a slightly different taste and slightly different, you know, aspects of the universe.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy, I think, is... Well, maybe not analogy, but a good comparison. Well, I guess that is an analogy. But a good comparison between like the Sony versus Disney and how they have their approach and their feels,
yeah.
Even though it's kind of under the same umbrella of Marvel. Well, I don't know, association with Marvel. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think it means that Kevin Feige wasn't running it. You know what I mean? I think...
Got it.
It says it's from the studio that brought you Spider-Man Far From Home and Spider-Man Homecoming. But if it had just those two movies, you'd still be confused because that was so closely shepherded by...
And it added Venom too, which is also Sony, correct?
Right. And I think it kind of had to add Venom because Venom's the only one that has that darkness to it.
Right.
The tongue-in-cheek with the darkness. So I think if you have just the two other ones, then you could still kind of feel like you're in this space of the Disney Marvel universe.
So if you consider like all of the bat species, like I think, I don't know, there's probably hundreds of bat species. I think one, maybe two, and I'm sure some, you know, biologist out there will correct us. But like one of them consumes blood. The rest are like fruit bats.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So he's like, I have this overpowering surge to consume blood. But I mean, the reality is he really should be saying, you know, I have an overpowering urge to consume blueberries. Because he's probably like a fruit bat, not a vampire bat. I mean, jeez. And why do they make bats like so vicious? I mean, they just kind of fly around eating like mosquitoes and stuff.
And it's so funny because most of them are so tiny. You know, Bryce said there was a bat in his cabin like in the last night and people are losing their minds, right? And I was like, oh, were you scared? He goes, no, the thing was like so small. It was like, how can you be scared of something that's smaller than a mouse, you know?
It's like a house mouse with wings.
Yeah. And he said this one was even smaller than that. So
yeah, right. I know. I mean, and that's... But I mean, what I love though is the Michael Keaton cameo at the end.
Well, I think that's what kind of it adds the levity of it. But it was funny because even though Anne knows that this is in that same environment, it's the same universe, she had forgotten about the whole... Oh, now I'm going to forget his character name. It was like the vulture.
Wait, Michael Keaton? Oh, wait, he's in... Wait, what is he in?
Now, you did it too. So Michael Keaton is the bad guy in Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, see, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you did not finish that in your Marvel Universe package challenge.
Wait a minute. What? It didn't end with Endgame?
You skipped the two Sony ones. That's okay. I think you could skip that.
Wait a minute.
Did you see either of the Spider-Man movies? Homecoming or Far From Home?
Homecoming. Wait, which one was when they were wherever they were and then his friend, who's the little chubby kid that's his friend?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're in the room. Uh-huh. And there's what's Sam Jackson's character?
Oh, yeah.
God, I'm so like having a name finding problem right now.
We do. Nick Fury.
So which one was that?
Nick Fury was Far From Home.
Far From Home. Okay, so I did see Far From Home.
Ah, so you missed the one preview, the prior one, Homecoming.
Oh, there was one before that?
Yeah, God. Yeah, so he takes a school.
I got to start the Marvel Challenge all over again.
Just watch one movie. It'll be fine. yeah. So yeah, Michael Keaton plays...
Stitch it together.
Plays Vulture, I think is his name. And he basically takes all of the Avengers tech.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I did see that one.
There you go.
Yeah, he was... Yeah, shoot. I did see it though.
But it's funny because in this trailer, even though we all know that, the minute you see him and you see all these bats, your association to Michael Keaton as Batman.
Oh, now it makes complete sense. Wait, which Spider-Man was he in?
He was in Spider-Man Homecoming.
So Homecoming I saw. Maybe Far From Home I didn't see.
You didn't see Mysterio?
No. Okay, so I had it backwards. I saw Homecoming. I didn't see Far From Home.
Okay. I think you saw the trailer from Far From Home.
That's what it was. That's what it was. God, man, these trailer junkies. The audience is like going right now like, why am I listening to these guys? They don't even know what the heck they're talking about. But see, that's why I stick to trailers and not movies, right. Even though, that's of right. course, we watch movies. But.
Oh, we forgot to thank Marcus.
Oh, because he said trailer junkies for
that's
life.
That's right. So I got a Christmas card from Soapbox, and I looked.
TJLF.
I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that's really nice, you know? And then Audrey comes to my office, and she's looking at the Christmas cards on my desk, and she flips it over, and she goes, oh, that's so nice. I was like, what are you talking about? And I guess I had not looked close enough. And Marcus, our guest from long ago, episode what, 42 or something like that, he wrote.
Has it been that long?
Trailer Junkies for Life on the Christmas card. So it was really awesome.
Now 42 is Vice.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know what episode he was in, but it was a great episode. He was our first guest.
One of our first guests. It was, if not our first guest, I think he was our first guest. Yes.
Yeah, he called us out on our like. What do you call it?
Our taste in trailers.
No, but what do you call it when you go really fast with something? Like oh my God, why am I having an awful night tonight. I can't think of anything. You know, when you do an interview with the quick take.
Oh yeah. The hot takes.
The speed round. The speed round.
Lightning round. Oh, I wasn't.
Lightning
wasn't,
round. Wasn't that's lightning it. The round. Lightning yeah. round. Yeah. He was getting on our case for doing a lightning round with him. And he's like, really? I got to sit through this. Yeah. He was a great interview, man. Yeah. That was awesome. All right. So we had a Batman in Morbius, mm-hmm. and then we have, wait, Stargirls.
That's right.
Okay. Stargirls. We'll start with, but we'll talk about, okay. How about this? Which Stargirl do you want to talk about first?
Well, it's funny. Cause again, you know, prepping for this, I was watching it. Oh, and it was so awesome because our new television in the bedroom, it has like YouTube on it direct.
Okay.
Like there's YouTube on this through the box, but I like the fact that YouTube is directly in the app. So you can surf YouTube on from the television. So
what brand is the TV?
It's an LG.
LG. Okay.
Yeah. So I was able to pull it up, and because I had recently watched the videos, it was all right there. And his take, I was like, so who's copying who, you know? And his thing was, whoever comes out first, they're the original Supergirl or Stargirl.
Okay. Stargirl. Right.
But I said, but who had the idea first? Isn't that important? You know what I mean? It's like, is it first to market or is it first in concept, you know? So we were still kind of stuck on that.
And who were you talking to about this?
Bryce.
I thought this was like a work conversation. Okay, sure. You're grooming him, right?
Yes. He smells all the beers and he talks about trailers. So
that's right.
We'll have replacements.
All right, I'll get Timmy on board here in a few.
But so I think Disney Plus's Stargirl comes out in March, and then the CW's Stargirl comes out in the spring. So I'm like, March, spring? I think you could still say they're the same. It's still in the same window, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, can you parse out like, oh, well, we beat you by a week or something? I mean, the production line, probably when they present it to the board who chooses these things, right. And you know, whatever it is, like, it's probably all within the same window, and you're looking at, you know, Warner Brothers and Disney, and they're probably, I don't know, like, do you think it's just mere coincidence?
It has to be coincidence. I'm surprised there's not a lot of cease and desists and, like, you know, going back and forth. It's very strange.
Each company's lawyers and accountants looked at the guy who wanted to stop it and be like, you know, we can, but man, they have a lot of money too. Right.
And it's like, they don't, they're all, you know, they're corporate lawyers. So they don't get paid extra for litigating things, you know?
That's true. Right. Yeah. There's no billable hours. They're all on retainer.
Yeah, they're on staff. So you don't even have.
Right. Really? I got to work this? It's going to be way too much time. And then they just go to, like, you know, Bob, and they're just like, Bob, it ain't going to happen.
And the subject matter, I think, is what saves these from having any concern, you know?
They're not close.
Yeah, I mean, if Disney's Stargirl was in the Marvel Universe, then there'd be a fight, you know? But there's the CW's Supergirl. I always want to say Supergirl. Stargirl is a superhero, and Disney Plus's Stargirl is a coming of age, quirky, you know, outsider, you know? So which one did you want to talk about first?
Well, let's look at it this way. So if I could just kind of go on the names like we were just talking.
Oh, yeah.
I think the CW Stargirl is a more appropriate Stargirl as far as title.
Yes. Okay.
So Stargirl, and you see the almost Captain America, you know, outfit.
Of course.
And it appears as like you could see how it's Stargirl, and in a way it's like Captain America is like the male version or the guy, and Stargirl's the same thing, but in the girl version, but then she has the staff, right. But it's the superhero. Whereas with the Disney version, I got the sense of like hippie,
right?
Like Moon Zappa or something. And it was, oh yeah, you know, I'm Stargirl, and like, really, you're Stargirl? And, you know, yeah, my parents were like, you know, like, this is just kind of what I'm thinking, but my parents weren't like from a commune.
Right. Exactly.
or whatever, you know? So in that case, it's like, if anybody had to change a name and do something different, like the Disney one could probably change the name. It wouldn't affect the show at all. And it would probably, if anything, it would probably improve things.
You could call her like Moon Girl and it'd be the same.
It doesn't even matter. You could call her anything and it wouldn't even matter to the story. You know what I mean? Because, you know, change her name to even something more conservative, like, you know,
Sally,
like, oh my God, I was about to say that. That's so funny. Yeah. Like Sally Girl or something. Right. And then like, it wouldn't even change the story one bit, but Stargirl, you can't be like, you know, Sally Girl. Cause like, no, she has a star on her shirt
and she's a superhero. Yeah.
With that, let's talk about what I would call the real Stargirl, which is the CW superhero Stargirl.
Okay. Tell me.
Yeah, well, let's go that one first.
All right.
So, I don't know. I think this is in Audrey's wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she seems to be excited or no? Am I missing it?
So this is the funny thing that this came about. She said, oh, Stargirl's, I just saw the trailer for Stargirl. It looks really good.
And you're like, which one?
No, I didn't know about either of them at the time.
Okay.
So, I hit Stargirl. So, normally she sends me a link, but we were talking about it and I had my phone out, so I just quickly searched for Stargirl and I came across the CW one. So I watched the CW one and Audrey looked at me and looked at the thing and she was like, oh no, that's not the Stargirl I was talking about.
That's so funny.
So she liked the Disney Plus Stargirl mainly because we don't have the CW. We don't have any access to, you know, the multiverse of CW. So,
oh yeah.
So there was no.
What is CW? It's not on Hulu, is it?
It might be. I should check that out because we have Hulu.
You know what? I call that?
What?
I call that a CW failure.
It is.
That they're putting out this show and, well, me, I wouldn't watch it, mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't say I wouldn't watch it, but like the boys aren't there to watch it as far as age. At some point, like middle schoolers, they're probably going to get into it, you know, or high schoolers, right. Or even like late elementary school. They'll probably get into something like this. But like as adults, yeah, I'm not going to watch this.
And I think that's but on purpose, though. I think the fact that we're Gen X, like the whole CW franchise, all the whole CW universe is made for millennials.
No, I agree. But what I'm getting at, though, is like the fact you don't even know what platform it's on. Mm-hmm. Like that's a failure on their part.
I think. Yeah, you're right. They could expand their market to some Gen X, right? Some Gen Xers.
Maybe
if they just shared it a little more.
Unless the kids that they're, you know, like the Audreys of the world that they're advertising to and marketing to, unless it's so ubiquitous that people in that generation know exactly how to get a hold of it. Maybe that's how it is. And people our age, they're just not marketing to, and we're just like oblivious.
They're like, you either know where to get it or you don't.
Yeah. And you either care enough to know where to get it or you don't.
But there's so, I think you're right. I think it is on Hulu. I think the whole Arrowverse.
What's Arrowverse?
I think it all started with the, well, technically it all started with Smallville, which I was definitely into.
Mm-hmm.
I love Smallville. But after Smallville, I think.
That was a Superman, right?
That was Superman.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think it was the Arrow, but the Green Arrow, which I think they just called the Arrow now, or the Arrow, I don't know. He was a spinoff of Smallville, but then when they really expanded into other stories and other series like Supergirl and all these other ones, that's when they really took off as a universe of superheroes.
Got it. Makes sense. So it's kind of funny. It's like with two titles of Stargirl, two very different titles. It's funny how we're like comparing and contrasting.
But it's funny to me, like you say that the Disney Plus Stargirl, she's almost a catalyst and not the main character. You know, it's very clear that this is a coming of age movie for this young boy.
So I would agree with that. And I was watching it, I bounced back and forth a little bit. Mm-hmm. Most of my feeling was it's a coming of age for the boy. However, it was, the girl was the one that the main focus seemed to be on.
Right.
So you're watching the boy come of age, but it was more about how this girl is like in the mainframe affecting everything, which is the catalyst that you're talking about, of course.
Exactly. And I think the story might be a little more balanced than the trailer's letting on. And the one thing that I think the trailer clued us into, but kind of downplayed, was the musicality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it definitely had a section of it that felt like a musical. You know, they started singing back and forth to one another, and yet it wasn't really highlighted.
I got the feeling, too, it was going to be very musical.
Okay.
So I would also say that I think the Disney Stargirl is far more heartfelt,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be at times a tearjerker in a way. Yeah. And even as an adult, you're going to kind of harken back to when you're like in high school or, you know, a teen and you had a crush on a girl or something. And it was like, oh, man, nobody sees me. But then like out of the blue comes like this cute little girl and she's like, oh, wow, yeah, you know, let's hang out, you know, talk to me.
She's quirky and she's awkward. And
she's as awkward as you ever were, you know, and maybe more so or whatever. But like in like a disarming way that allows you to come out of your shell.
Right.
And you're going to watch and be like, why wasn't that girl there when I was that age? Maybe I wouldn't have been so scarred. You know, and where I think the CW Stargirl is far more like alpha woman.
Yes.
You know, and then if you think about like Luke Wilson, he takes on the role of like beta male.
Well, it's
right?
Even it's a little sad for Luke Wilson, don't you think? I mean, he was a sidekick to this guy, you know, the Starman or whatever, and Starman dies and, you know, gets murdered or whatever. So he tries to have a normal life. He marries a mom with a kid. And then as they're moving, he thinks that he's shed this whole part of his life. And his new stepdaughter picks up the staff of whatever. And he's just back in sidekick mode.
And it starts all over again. Right.
Like I don't know why he would hold on to that thing. I guess just out of sheer like duty, just the sense of duty as a sidekick, you know?
He just needed to sleep for like 500 years, wake up, and then it was Idiocracy.
Did you like that movie?
Idiocracy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the part where we're living it now a little bit.
I can't tell you how many times me and Clarissa have conversations and then she's just like, she'll bring up Idiocracy. Uh-huh. And I'm like, why do you always bring up Idiocracy? She goes, well, because we're like living it. I'm We got there sooner. Unfortunately, we got there faster than we thought we would. But
in some ways, yes.
But yeah, I think it's so funny, though, how like you can't help but compare and contrast these two movies.
Just because their title's the same, you know, it's like
their title's the same. It's two girls, the same window, the same age demographic. Mm-hmm. Everything is the same, but for the superhero alpha woman, alpha teen chick, whatever, and the quirky little, like, I don't know, like cutesy high school girl.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And who has like a ukulele talent. One has a staff, one has a ukulele. I mean, it's like the compare and contrasting elements just don't end.
No, they don't. But it's funny because the CW Stargirl is a series, you know, it's a series.
Right, right. And the other one's a movie.
It's a movie. So I like the thing that excited me about it is it really felt like Disney Plus with Lady and the Tramp and Togo, which is Togo is just an amazing story. I don't know if you know the story. Do you know the story of Togo?
No.
Do you know the story of Balto? Have you heard of Balto?
No.
Balto is the sled dog that was.
Oh, Togo. I saw that advertised on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised you haven't heard of Balto. Balto was like the big.
No, I have not.
So Balto was the one who got all the fame. He did the. He was the lead dog on the very last leg of the trek to bring medicine across Alaska for the children of Alaska. I don't know if you know about this.
Is this a true story?
It's a true story. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So Willem Dafoe plays the musher or whatever it's called that took this trek.
So Togo is.
Togo's another dog.
Another dog. Okay.
But Togo was actually the lead dog for the majority of the time. So Togo had the lead over the ice as the ice is breaking, and they thought Togo was too old, so they put Togo.
So this is a true story?
True story. They put Togo.
Oh.
They gave Togo to a woman in town, and Togo was so distraught to be separated from his pack that Togo jumped through the woman's window.
Heartbreaking.
Cutting himself up just to get back to the pack.
Yeah.
So,
man.
But even though that Togo did 80% of the lead dog, Balto got all the glory because Balto was the lead dog as he came into the town.
Sure.
So when Disney made their first animated classic about this, you know, this dog trek across Alaska to save the children of Alaska from certain death without this polio vaccine or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They made the story about Balto, and it's this huge animated classic, and everything, you know, all the stories are written, all the newspaper articles are all written about Balto. Well, Togo was the real hero of this whole trek.
Because he did the lion's share of the work.
Exactly. And Togo could lead on his own, where Balto had to lead and read up on all this. And then she just, you know, she just like unloaded on me. So I just have all the secondhand information from her. But Balto, when Balto was in the lead, he had to have another lead dog with him. So it's like, not only is it crazy, but I was like, oh, so Balto's like your goal line running back. And Togo's like your between the 20s kind of running back that does the majority.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But so it's a great movie.
It's like your halfback and your fullback.
Exactly. So I love the idea that Disney Plus is putting money, treasure, and time into their feature presentations. So it's like, you know, they have the 52-week calendar, and they made 40% of 2019's box office. So the box office dollars that were collected in 2019, 40% of the box office went to Disney. That's kind of amazing.
Wow.
That one studio would have that much of a market share.
Yeah, that is incredible.
But they're like, that's not enough. We're going to have movies on our streaming platform, and we're going to even, you know, go outside of that. So Stargirl, Togo, I think they released another one, some diary of a high school president or some middle school president or something like that. So,
and these are never going to go to theater. I mean, these are straight to streaming.
Straight to streaming. Streaming, March, whatever.
That's awesome.
So it is a great thing. And I think I just read today on Variety. Let me make sure that I read it on Variety because I don't have any insider information, but we can't, even look like we have any insider information. And it said, could Disney Plus reach 60 to 90 million subscribers earlier than expected? I think, I can't see what they're sitting at right now in this article, but I think if they're right around that, I think Netflix is saying they have 160 million. So I told this to Audrey today. And so Audrey was like, so they're clearly losing to Netflix. And I was like, Audrey, Disney Plus has only been around for less than 3 months.
Yeah, like a couple of months. So here's a question I have, though. Okay, so a dad of a girl, because I don't have girls. You have a girl.
Oh, God, tell me.
My kids are young. You have a girl right in this wheelhouse, 14.
Yes.
Right? How much TV does she watch with you?
With us?
Yeah, with you. You as dad. How much TV does Audrey watch with you?
Not much.
Okay. I had a feeling that was the answer. That's why I'm going with this.
Yes.
So both of these Star Girls.
Yes.
The CW and the Disney one. Do you think that Audrey would sit down and watch with you guys these shows, the movie, whatever? It would be more of like a family kind of a watching, a viewing, kind of rekindling that family viewing experience? Or do you think she's too cool for school that she's just going to sit there and be like, I ain't watching it with you, but then she'll just go watch the same thing while you're watching it, but she'll be in her bedroom on her phone watching it?
The latter. when there's the accessibility, it'll be the latter. I think so. We watched Jojo Rabbit last week, and we got it because she's in SAG, so she watched it with us, and she voted for stuff. Oh, should I not say what she voted for? Okay, well, let's not. We won't talk too much about what she voted for on the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in trouble. But so she sat there with us, and we watched that together as a family. But because it was on a screener FYC for your consideration DVD, is the only way she was going to watch it. That's the only DVD player in the house,
Right. I gotcha.
So it's like all things being equal, she'd rather watch things on her own. We watched together High School Musical, the series. We watched the finale episode together on treadmills next to each other. And
wait, so the title is High School Musical, the musical, the series? Is that the title?
That is the title.
High School Musical, the series.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
There was much internal churn about it. They were going back and forth and back and forth. But once the public got a hold of it, I think everybody loved the kitschiness of calling something High School Musical, the series.
Okay. Hey, if you say so. If you say so.
So we watched the same episode together on treadmills next to each other, and she was about 3 minutes ahead of me, so I had to not look over at her and her reactions.
I hate when that happens.
But every time I saw something awesome in this finale, I looked over at her and I was like, can you believe this? We're running. But it was great. So that's the closest thing I think I'm going to get to watching streaming things with my daughter.
Well, and it's funny because, again, just jumping ahead a little bit, mm-hmm. what we're watching, we're still doing Clone Wars. I mean, there's a bunch of seasons, so we're going to be doing that for a while. But I was talking with Clarissa, and we're sitting with the boys, and one of the things that I think we like about it is we get to sit on the sofa. Watching TV is really a solo event, and you don't do anything together, but yet you have the shared experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? So you're really not doing anything. You're really not involved with one another, but it's more of a shared experience.
Right.
And the cool thing is we all sit down and we do the Clone Wars. And the one thing I like about the Clone Wars, they have their little I don't know, what would you call it? That thing in the beginning, friends are great and friends are there. And then you got to sit there and tell your son what that means? I have no idea. Okay, well, here's what it means, And it's kind of like every episode has this little like philosophical blurb.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And so I always tell them when you see it, pause, and we're going to talk about it.
Oh, that's nice.
And we discuss like what the little philosophical blurb is of that particular show.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we say like, all right, as the show goes on, I explain it to them. As the show goes on, let's see if you recognize the character that is arrogant. And then I explain arrogance to him.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and then we go through it. And then there's like the one guy who wants to take over the planet. Uh-huh. But yet he's so arrogant. He doesn't see the error in his ways. And then Timmy's like, I think it's that guy, you know. And then we kind of like it. So it's not just like brainless TV watching. We try and like get, you know, glean lessons from it and so on. Right. And so that's why I kind of ask, would you guys watch these shows together or not? Because again, you're not really doing much, but like if you make it an experience together, then you can have an experience together. Right. As you know what I mean? And I think, I don't know so much the CW Stargirl so much than the Disney one, because I think the Disney one will call into question like
bullying and like
maybe her experience in school now and stuff. And then you guys can have conversation if she's willing to have conversations. But like, yeah, the bullying side of things, having a crush on a boy side of things, or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, and just having that open channel of communication that this movie might help allow to happen.
Yeah. So Joshua Barrett is the lead in High School Musical, the musical, the series, and
such a mouthful.
And Audrey's kind of has a mini, you know, crush on him. And at the end, there's this huge like speech that he gives, and it's the I love you speech, right? So spoiler, he says I love you at the end of the show. But after watching the episode, like Audrey and I had a conversation. I said, these kind of shows really kind of destroy, like the rom-com kind of destroys expectations for people, you know, like you expect
for sure. Yeah.
For something like this seminal moment that's scripted to happen, you know? And she was like, all right, I get it, you know? And then later on, she comes to find out that, that he had ad-libbed a lot of that scene. So she was like, look, he made that stuff up on the spot. It wasn't just, you know, scripted.
He really does love me. Right.
So it was hilarious, but we do talk about it, and I can't wait for her to say, oh yeah, I saw that Stargirl. It was great. And then I'll go quickly watch it so that we can have something to talk about.
Right. Cause you still want to be dad, right? Exactly. No. And I don't know, maybe boys are different than girls, or maybe the age and I'm just not there yet. I mean, I have no idea, you know, but what I can say though is, I mean, if you could find that connection to at least like tap into like the, you know, have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in our life a little bit. And maybe if these shows can help do that, that would be cool.
So I do use the television to say like, hey, how's this going? You know what I mean? So,
you know, you got to find your ins, man. You got to find your ins. Cause I mean, you know, and I hate to say it, but it's like age appropriate to some regard. They're going to start pulling away. You know, it's like, who was it? Erickson, I believe, was the psychologist. But anyway, I think I'm good for the Stargirls.
Yeah. Stargirls have been covered.
Yeah. So what have you been watching this week?
So this week, I'm still watching Mr. Robot on the treadmill.
Okay.
But I'm picking back up with J-Cal this week in Startups. So I'm listening to him again. He just had his 1,000th episode. So
Whoa.
So, since we just celebrated 100th, you know, we have some years to get to here.
Man.
But he's amazing this week in Startup and
so he's on the TWIP network or the TWIT network with Leo Laporte.
No, he actually on the 1,000th episode they actually go into it a little bit that he did follow Leo, but Leo was a little bit out of shape that he kind of took half of his title. Because then,
oh, no, I got gotcha.
No actual association, but other people were coming out with This Week Ends at the same time, and it was just like, you know, when Calacanis did it, he didn't know that it was like proprietary for Leo.
That's the same thing with This Week in Photo.
Exactly. So
yeah,
so everybody's
yeah.
like using it, thinking like, oh, this is what you do. It's a weekly podcast. You just say This Week in subject matter. You know,
for sure. Yeah,
but so that's what I've been listening to, and that's kind of eating into some of my viewing. But I did manage to finish Lost in Space season 2 on Netflix.
Oh yeah, we haven't started yet, but I definitely want to.
So it's good. I might have to rewatch the finale. I think I have to rewatch the finale. I might have fallen asleep.
Fell asleep.
Yep.
You're right. I'm right there too. Sometimes I wake up, I'm like, all right, what happened? But I think this is a week of finishing.
There you go.
So sounds like you too, because we finished Jeff Goldblum.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
We finished series The Family on Netflix. Have you seen The Family?
Oh, no.
So The Family is like a modern day Illuminati kind of a thing. Like there's this religious group and this guy, Doug Cohn, and pretty much it ends with like the evangelical right essentially anoints Donald Trump as like the greatest evangelical president we've ever had.
What?
You know, and I mean, it's just like, it's so over the top and you're just like, and then continuing with the Clone Wars. I mean, that's pretty much what we've been doing this week. So
how many seasons are you into Clone Wars?
Just about finishing the first season.
Okay. And there's six?
There's six. We got like 5 seasons to go. So I might be talking about the Clone Wars a few more weeks. Or months. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure whichever comes first.
It's amazing how the amount of content on there.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. And like they just keep getting deeper and deeper in all these characters. You're just like, how do they keep telling the same story over and over? But Jeff Goldblum was good. I mean, he had a lot of awesome, I mean, all of the way he gets into things. And I mean, whether it's gaming, whether it's coffee, whether it's, you know, like sneakers and bicycles, and he gets into all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really cool. He's very disarming. He's very quirky. And I like his sense of humor. But if he were in my family, I would get tired of him pretty quick. You know, like what are the shows? 26 yeah, minutes, maybe something hours. Like that. You know, like I can handle him that long. Like, oh my God. And then, so there was one, it was on barbecue and he's barbecuing in the backyard and there's his wife. And I said to Clarissa, I said, who's this woman that marries Jeff Goldblum? You know? And she's like 20 years is younger uh-huh, or something. Uh-huh. Like, how does this crew hook up? You know, whatever. But I mean, that's pretty much what we've been doing. I mean, kind of a no frills week on what we're watching. Just like I said, finishing up some things but yeah, Lost in Space. I mean, I think we're going to catch that this upcoming week.
Awesome. How's the working out? How's your, other than the sweet garage door?
Oh yeah. No. So this Sunday I find out if I'm back into the Leadville 100 bike race. I'm thinking I will be. I probably should be. I finished last year. We know we talked about this a few weeks already. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, I find out Sunday if I'm in, and you know, then I mean, it's game on. Let the training begin, and here we go again. You know,
awesome.
Yeah, but no, I mean, yeah, just I'm gonna get. I want to paint the garage, and I want to get like you know. Strip and stain the cabinets in there and with like an ebony stain and, you know, just get like some racing stripes in the garage, you know, man cave it, you know,
put a urinal up next to the keyser.
A urinal. I don't think so. Yeah. Of course it comes in like this to let me know dinner's ready. I'm in there taking a leak. Yeah. That'd be awful. You know, like I'm just laughing like I could honestly say 100% that I didn't even think of a urinal in the garage.
Well, your bathroom's so close, that's why.
a urinal. That's hilarious. And even if it wasn't, man, like the backyard is right out the door, you know, like a urinal. All right, man. On that note, we better go.
Talk to you later. See you next week.
Yeah. Hey, you go pee in your own urinal.
Hey, when I make my man cave, I will.
All right, man. We'll catch you.
All right.
That's right.
See you next week.
Later.
Bye.
Oh, man, too funny.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.